He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday. It's the Thursday, March 7th edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, a nationwide fee-based only money management firm. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. We're off to a good start so far on this Thursday with the Dow up 158. That puts it at 38,819, moving in on that 39,000 level. It's up 40 basis points this morning. The S&P is up 36 to 5,140. That may be a new all-time record. I'm kind of losing track here. We've had so many recently, and we have the NASDAQ.
Stacking them up.
Yeah, exactly. The NASDAQ's up 131. To 16,162, despite some expensive P.E. ratios out there. The NASDAQ is up 80 basis points. Small caps up 90 basis points. Crude oil down 77 cents. Gold, new all-time high on gold. Gold is looking forward to some rate cuts. Gold loves that action, and gold is at 2,163 now. We've got silver up 8 cents. The 10-year's cleared down to 4.10, the lowest it's been in several months. And Bitcoin is up 1,600 now to 67,292. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. Well, we had yesterday an up day in the market. I think Powell's testimony before Congress did not contain any surprises. That was kind of the line for the day. The market rebounded a bit. It was up 76 points yesterday. You had the S&P up 26. You had the NASDAQ up 92. I didn't think it looked as good underneath the surface of the indexes as I looked at a lot of individual stocks yesterday. I continue to see a lot of toppy patterns out there. If you get my newsletter, I include a paragraph every week with a drawing, a chart of a generic chart that shows the four stages of a sideways trend, an uptrend, a topping out trend, and then a downtrend. It's simple as 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 is the downtrend. There's a lot of stocks right now that are in number three trends, meaning they've been ascending, and all of a sudden they're leveling off. Now, they can break out again from that leveling off stage, but at the same time you've got some pretty big headwinds for that happening. With the valuation ratios, forward PE on the S&P at 21.2 right now. Today there's some big news on the weight loss drugs, which we'll get to here in a moment. I guess Powell will testify before the Senate. That's usually what happens. He follows up his testimony before the House.
It takes all his medicine at one time, right?
Yeah.
Get it over with in quick 2 days.
And I wouldn't expect anything new today from that testimony. We get the State of the Union speech tonight. Many out there hope it'll be the last one from Biden. Many hope that he'll have four more in him before it's all over. So anyways, we'll see what goes on there. I think inflation and I think immigration will all be in focus, and the Middle East, Ukraine, etc. A lot of important things going on in the world right now. U.S. employers announced 84,638 job cuts, and that's about in line. And I think that's one of the things that President Biden can crow about. Is the continuing growth in GDP. No recession in sight, at least for now. And a continued strong jobs market. But that jobs cut was up a little bit. Tomorrow we get the non-farm payrolls report. We expect, I don't know what the expectation is there for jobs, but we had kind of a weak report on the private payrolls here earlier this week.
No, yeah, after a surprise, kind of a surprise one, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, in January. So,
and have the jobless claims come in yet? I haven't seen it
yet. Yeah, today's jobless claims came in. I think they came in 1,000 higher than expected.
Okay.
It was around 117. I think consensus was 116. The good news is, and a number I've been watching for a while, is productivity. The only way to get, if you're going to pay people more, right, you need more productivity. And productivity rose higher than expected at 3.2% versus 3.1% consensus. So
yes,
at least productivity is kicking up after being at a pretty low measure, certainly coming out of first couple years after COVID.
You know, I've felt much more productive lately than usual.
Me too.
Maybe that gets into those statistics somehow. ECB keeps rates unchanged for fourth meeting. And they revised down their inflation projections. They'll probably be the first to crack, I would guess, in lowering interest rates. They're not quite as perky. Their economy and jobs picture is not as good as ours. But it's suffice it to say the good news is that inflation is disappearing. The bad news is...
Did you see their growth growth level was like 0.6%
I know,
or something?
Yeah, it's anemic.
Yeah.
The good news is inflation is going away. The bad news is prices are not coming back down. Cookies are not going to get bigger. What did I buy? The Girl Scout cookies. You know, it's mostly plastic insulation and stuff.
Inside there, right? Yeah,
it
shouldn't be broken up when you get them because there's plenty of, like you said, there's plenty of plastic.
Yeah, and there's about 10 cookies in there for $5 or $4. I got 5 boxes for $20 outside a Walmart a few weeks ago. Notable earnings after tonight's close will come from Costco. There's just no stopping Costco. At any P.E. ratio, it doesn't matter what their margins are. It doesn't matter what their gross margins are, what their costs for the memberships are. That's a stock that just can't be stopped. It's one of the most popular places to go in America. It's an American tradition.
We frequent it often in our household. So.
Yes, if you've got a family and you need to buy in bulk, that's the place to go. They'll report tonight. Broadcom is a big report. This move in the market, I would say that the breadth of the market, which, 300 of the 500 S&P stocks are up so far this year, which is a big contrast to last year where we had just a few of the S&P really driving the bus. This year it's much more spread out. I see it narrowing again. I see a lot of the stocks that it had spread out to start to top out. The strength continues to be in that narrow group, artificial intelligence, even more specifically the semiconductor sector, which Broadcom is a big player in that semiconductor sector. DocuSign will report tonight. Marvell, which is kind of a second-tier chip stock, they'll report tonight. Not the comic book group, the technology semiconductor maker. Petrobras will report. And then we're pretty much, you can put a bow around this earnings season. We're done, wrap it up. About 99% of the companies have now reported. Now, when we come back, okay, there is just a fervor. There's one other group where there's still a fervor around besides artificial intelligence, and that's the weight loss drugs, the GLP-1 drugs. There's big news out of one of them today. The holy grail, it would seem, there's a couple that would really make the pill even that, or the drug that much more in demand. One is it's currently you have to give yourself a shot. Okay, that's not a big deal. But once they get that thing into pill form, that's a big winner. And number two, if they can get somehow to prevent the muscle mass, the loss of muscle mass while taking the pill, and there are several stocks working on that. But there is big news on that front here. In fact, there's three big news items today from the weight loss drugs. More and more people that I know, are on them. I'm tracking the.
Can you stand here for a minute? Yeah,
it does. You just see them walking, and you say, "Wow, his clothes fit a lot better than they used to," or whatever the case may be. But we'll come back. Which stock is it? Well, it's one of the biggest stocks in Europe right now. I think it's the biggest stock in Europe. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, our third biggest position, and we've done very well with it, is Novo Nordisk, NVO. And it's definitely our best performer today. Look at that breakout in Novo Nordisk. Wow, it's up 8.5%, which is a big move for a $607 billion company. Is it on its way to a trillion? Well, we think so at some point in time. If they can continue to grow at the pace that they're currently growing at over the next 5 years. Novo Nordisk stock jumps as oral obesity drug shows promising early results. Novo Nordisk shares rose pre-market on Thursday after the Danish drug maker reported promising results from an early-stage clinical trial of its experimental oral weight loss drug. Well, I guess they're going to give it a different name, Amycretin.
Man, that one's not going to. It's going to take a little while to roll off the tongue.
Yeah.
But the good news is, I mean, with them up, you know, you look at Lilly as a competitor, and Lilly's down like 0.25% or something. So, good news is, it's not affecting the price of Lilly at this point. So, getting best of both worlds here.
Yes, patients lose 13% of their weight in 12 weeks. Okay, you're 200 pounds, 13%, 26 pounds in 12 weeks, 3 months. That's pretty good, the company said at an Investor Day meeting. Wegovy, which is their highly popular GLP-1 obesity drug, helped patients lose around 6% after 12 weeks. Listen to this. That's doubling. That may even... kind of make the results from Viking Therapeutics pale in comparison. So this is now, I guess the question is, can people tolerate it? There's still a lot that has to be done in these trials. Novo shares are up right now. They were up 4.6 in the pre-market. They're now up 8.3. The pharma company has seen its stock value rise 73%, while people are losing 12 or 13% over the last year, thanks to its blockbuster GLP drugs Ozempic and Wegovy. The drugs contributed 55% of the company's total sales in 2023. And also, you know, it's a huge part of the European index. I think the European index has 50 stocks in it. The biggest
LVMH,
one is Novo, right?
Yep, that's correct. It passed LVMH a couple months ago and really hadn't looked back. So.
No, and then another one of our largest holdings may have also passed ASM lithography, which is out of the Netherlands, which is right smack dab in the middle of the whole AI thing. They make the equipment, part of the important equipment, the very high-end equipment to make these AI chips. So anyways, let's just take a look at Lilly. Lilly has a little bit, it's bad news and it's good news, okay? Well, the good news first is the demand for Lilly's drug, Zepbound, is incredible. The bad news is Eli Lilly likely won't meet demand for weight loss diabetes drugs in 2024. This is a relatively new class of drugs. And, you know, right now the insurers are scrambling. Cigna, CVS, which owns Aetna, United Healthcare, Blue Cross, Humana, etc., trying to work out deals with these drug makers because they're becoming such a big part of drug sales right now.
Well, they have the chance to reduce, you know, those insurers' costs going forward too, right? In terms of, you know, the benefits of weight loss, in terms of keeping other healthcare costs down going forward. So I'm sure that's part of the negotiation where they're like, hey, come down on the price, and you know, Lilly and Novo and anyone else in the field is like, you know, we'll go at, you know, it's okay, you can pay us this much because we're going to save you this much on the back end.
Yeah, well, NVO or Lilly's drug's about $1,300 a month. NVO is about $1,100. It's a little cheaper than Lilly. But yesterday at the TD Cowen Annual Healthcare Conference, the CFO of Lilly stated that the company is undertaking the most significant expansion plan in its history. Now, we've been talking about these weight loss drugs for a long time here on the Best Talks Now show. And we put our money where our mouth is. There, of our three largest holdings, two of them are weight loss drugs, Lilly and Novo Nordisk, and we continue to do very well. And I still think that, you know what, I mean, you're just barely starting this whole cracking of the population and the demand and everything. It's just barely getting off the runway from my perspective.
And the market's still pricing it. I mean, you look at, I mean, you know, year to date, I mean, you know, taking Novo Nordisk already is up over 30% year to date, right? So in terms of, you know, the market and valuation standpoint, the market's still catching up, right?
Yeah.
The value, I mean, it's only it's got a 37 forward PE ratio, and for one of the hottest places to be in the drug sector, right? 37's probably not, probably is a palatable multiple.
And if you want to know what our target price is, we put out an article on Lilly within the last 6 to 8 weeks or so. And I did the 5-year numbers on the company, on the stock. And you can see what that is. And, you know, another thing is, believe it or not, they still fly a little bit under the radar. Our article on Vidya had three times the page views as our article on Lilly, which is kind of silly, but that's the way it is. Cigna, in a pact with Novo and Eli Lilly to widen obesity coverage. Okay, so where that ends up, I don't know. Right now it's $1,349 for a month's worth of Lilly, and it's $1,060 for Novo Nordisk. United Healthcare now, on the other side of the street, so far they've paid $22 million to the ransomware group. They've paid it in Bitcoin. Maybe that's part of this big run-up Bitcoin.
They had to buy $22 million worth of Bitcoin to send to them.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that's a profitable little enterprise, is to steal somebody's data, lock it up, and then demand a ransom. It's kidnapping in a totally different... Kidnapping takes on a whole different meaning in today's world. It's a big, big problem over at United Healthcare right now. We'll be right back. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show. Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the market gains are hanging in there for now with the Dow's up 43 basis points. The NASDAQ is up 1%. And once again, it's pretty much the AI stocks that are leading the way. Microsoft announces a new era of work event focused on Copilot, Windows, and Surface, which is their smaller portable laptops. First, we had the work from home ETF back in the COVID years. Now they're announcing a new era of work they're going to have an event on March 21st that will focus on the company's artificial intelligence initiatives via Copilot, as well as updates to its Windows and Surface line of products. The new laptops, which are expected to feature Intel chips, will be targeted primarily for business and commercial customers. I would say that Microsoft pretty much has not had any missteps along the way since they had their ChatGPT. They were the first one to jump out of the gate with ChatGPT, whereas Google, on the other hand, Alphabet, has had many missteps along the way. So Microsoft's now going to take it to the next level where AI will become a bigger part, they're hoping, of your workday and do a lot of the things that maybe the mundane things. I don't know. We'll see. I keep getting asked on my laptop, hey, do you want to use Copilot? Do you want it? No, not yet.
I keep telling it no to. But the
try it. Right?
Yeah, well, it does show you that, and we've talked about this before, and that's one of the reasons you parted ways with Google a couple weeks back. Right. The stock is the fact that, I think if you think about the big tech companies, right, large tech, they're the ones that kind of have are under most attack, right, in terms of you talk a lot about being the disruptor or the disrupted, and Google's really particularly on the search side, right, a lot of these AI technologies are focusing on search first and then moving to other applications, and they're the ones that are under the most fire, so they've got the most execution risk. And they haven't, as you highlighted earlier this week, they haven't hit it yet with Bard, a misstep with Bard and Gemini. And so.
Yeah, that's right. And, it's it's going to creep in to our everyday life, artificial intelligence. Well, I would still say that, let's just look at Microsoft today. It's been kind of going sideways here for a while. It continues to go sideways, really. The software, which it's in the software sector, they've been going sideways now for several weeks. Really, Microsoft topped out in late January. And has been going sideways ever since. So whether it's going to break out to the upside again or roll over and go into a correction, to me it looks more like it could break out to the upside. They seem to be the one that's executing. And let's not forget, they have the most to gain. Okay, Bing has a very small market share in search, whereas Google has a huge market share. So Microsoft has everything to gain here if they continue to execute. I think that we still own our Microsoft, while Google has made a lot of missteps. Still, one of the best talks, we talked about it yesterday, GE breaking out again today after the GE Aerospace business reaffirmed their guidance. They're going to do a $15 billion stock buyback program, and the company eventually is going to split into three different companies. Man, I'll tell you what, that stock, they're expected to make a 63% gain in earnings this year and a 31% gain in earnings next year. You can definitely make a strong case for General Electric breaking out to new all-time highs. Now, on the periphery, okay, NVIDIA is not the only AI stock out there, and this action really continues to be centered around the chip makers. Yesterday we talked about Qualcomm. Qualcomm's breaking out today again. I said yesterday, look, Qualcomm looks like one of the most attractive charts in the entire market. And yes, Qualcomm did have an investor day, I think on Tuesday or Monday, announcing their AI aspirations, which much of it centered around the mobile phone. And in today's world, that mobile phone is, for a lot of people, they use their mobile phone more than they use their computer, their laptops, and their PCs, etc. And so there's a big market there for Qualcomm. Qualcomm breaking out. You can look at that chart here today. It's up 3.3%. Another one that's out there, right around in that same circle is Micron. There's no question about it. Stiefel today says Micron gains, well, Micron's up today, saying, as Stiefel says, their estimates are wrong and way too low. Well, okay, I mean, Micron is not as high-tech as the others with their DRAM chips, but a very important cog in the wheel of the AI, so Micron can also be thrown. If you were going to make an AI ETF, and there are. I got a note from Wise, WISE, which has an AI, pure AI ETF. You would have to put Micron in that group, MU, along with NVIDIA, ASM Lithography, Microsoft, others, Applied, or ANET, which is Arista Networks, and then some of the storage stocks, definitely a super microcomputer, SMCI, and others. Okay, another area for AI that is exploding is in the military. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, we don't really want China to have NVIDIA's technology. Seems to me like if they want it, they're going to get it somehow, because it's also a big edge when it comes to weaponry. Intel is going to get a $3.5 billion grant from the U.S. to make chips for the military. And that's another big market for artificial intelligence in making better weapons, more efficient weapons. And you've got NVIDIA's, all the chip makers, pretty much, the big chip makers involved with the military.
If you think of a lot of technological advances, right, it usually seems like it tends to start in and around the military and defense, right? And
the internet kind of came from the military,
exactly.
Right?
Yep, that's
okay.
Correct.
So beyond, I wanted to talk about beyond a little bit, not beyond meat, but beyond is the old Overstock.com.
Yeah,
you know, that stock's
Bed,
made
Bath
a,
and Beyond, and Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. And what's left of them? That stock was 21 at the end of January. So 6 weeks later, they brought in Marcus Lemonis as the chairman. Now it's $35 a share. That's a 75% move. Their big problem is profitability. I mean, they could never, ever even dream of margins like these chip stocks have. But Beyond is taking now another one that went south, Zulily. I remember them, Zulily.
Oh, yeah, wow. Right.
And they're buying their assets, right? Just like they did with Bed Bath and Beyond. I don't know. This is not a space that I really want to play in, picking up all of these assets from these bankrupt companies. But, hey, the name of the company is Beyond. And, you know, Marcus Lemonis involved there now. The Prophet, who's also the CEO of Camping World. Now, one of the internet slash AI stocks, Ciena, is tumbling today. They're kind of on the outskirts of town. They make Ethernet switching systems, not as high-tech. But Ciena's been hitting new highs recently. Well, they're stumbling today. Very poor earnings report. Sales up 3%. Our earnings up 3%, sales down 2%. Apparently somebody else is getting that business that Ciena used to get, and the stock is down 13.5%. It's in the networking space. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Let's just look underneath the surface here of the market today. It is a good day so far that we've got going on. There's not a lot of news out there other than a couple of jobs reports. Tomorrow we get the big non-farm payrolls report. Let's take a look inside the S&P 500 right now, okay? The biggest winner in the S&P 500, Kroger. Well, that's one we missed, okay? Kroger, that's another sector I don't really like to play in that much, which Kroger is groceries, obviously. They have many brands. In our neck of the woods, it's Harris Teeter.
And they're trying to buy Albertsons, and apparently that
I don't think that's going to happen.
That's not going to happen, and it's probably, I don't know what the news is in terms of them popping, but it might be the fact that they're going to abandon that.
And they had a good report. Their earnings were up 15%, their sales were up 6%, but it's basically, it's a single-digit grower, okay?
Right.
I mean, they basically grow these days with the population. They're maybe new markets where people are moving to, et cetera. They need a big population to build a Kroger. So I can't get too excited there about that one. The second biggest winner, this is kind of surprising, Freeport-McMoRan. There must be good news out of China. They usually, with their big copper supplier, Microchip Technology, which is also a bit of a player, on the outskirts of town in AI, in the memory, flash memory. They're probably going up in sympathy with Micron today. We've got Monolithic Power up 4%. That's a little bit of a breakout there. That's actually a pretty good chip company, not as well known as the others. NXP Semiconductors up 4%. And then you got it's another semiconductor move today. What can I say? You've got Micron up 3% today. Micron, you've got Nvidia, another new high. I read that Nvidia has gone up $1 trillion over the last 3 months, something like that. $1 trillion in market cap. It's now $2.3 trillion. And has only got, where's Apple these days?
Yeah, I think Apple and Apple just above it, and as well as Microsoft. So
yeah, Apple's 2.6.
Yeah.
This thing's going to pass. It's going to pass Apple. I think it's inevitable. Microsoft's pretty far ahead at $3 trillion. But I think NVIDIA's going to blow by Apple to become the second biggest. I wonder where he is on the richest men in the world list, the CEO of NVIDIA. which is up another 3.7% today. It is our largest position and getting larger. Intel or Broadcom is up 3.5%. That is not quite a new all-time high, but close. It's small in comparison to NVIDIA. It's only $646 billion. It's one-third of the size of NVIDIA. Intel is up 3.5%. Intel's pretty much a sideways stock these days. Qualcomm taking off today. Qualcomm's up 3.4%. Now it's up 2.9%. That's a breakout to new all-time highs. Is that all-time
that's
highs?
That's one you referenced earlier this
week.
That's
right. Qualcomm, their all-time high is 193, which I think is going to get there. It's 173 right now. D.R. Horton is up 3.2%. The home builders have been amazingly resilient, even with 7% 30-year mortgages. And Analog Devices is up 2.7%. Now, those are the haves. Let's go down to the have-nots today. Hewlett-Packard down 4%. That's been a struggling company for many years. Seagate down 2.4%. Campbell Soup down 2.3%. Nordstrom's, which got whacked yesterday, is down another 1.7% today. Now, if we look inside the NASDAQ, I'm sure it's going to be all chips at the top. Yep, pretty much. Microchip, NVIDIA, Broadcom, ASM's up 3%, Intel, Qualcomm. The top 9 out of 10 are semiconductor-related. And then you've got Meta Platforms up 2.5%. At the bottom of the heap in the NASDAQ today, China. JD.com, and Baidu. Now, one last look. Let's take a look at the Dow Jones Industrial Average, which, you know, I've noticed the relative strength on the Dow has dropped quite a bit, and it's trailing the NASDAQ by quite a bit. Amgen's down 1.7% on the downside. On the upside, Intel, American Express is up 2.2. I saw they had a big increase to their dividend today. That's probably the top financial in my book is American Express. Caterpillar's up 1.9% and Microsoft's up 1.4%. So not a bad day in the market. You've got a high forward PE ratio. You've got the jobs coming out tomorrow. The Fed will be watching that. You've got nothing really new on the Fed front this week other than, you know, maybe June, July we'll see a rate cut as inflation. We did have those hot inflation reports a couple of weeks ago that spooked the market, sent interest rates up to about 4.35%, and now they're down 25 basis points since then. Now, this is Thursday. I start working on the newsletter later this afternoon for this week. We did make some, we made a lot of moves this week in the market, quite a few.
Yeah,
actually.
you took some profits on some names and, scaled back on our beta or overall market risk and, you know, kind of in that mood of standing watch, right? Standing guard at the moment.
Yeah, and introduced a couple of new big buys, purchases. So yeah. If you want to get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com, 2 free weeks of the whole enchilada newsletter, which has the portfolios and all the buys and sells. And, of course, if you want to continue getting that after your 2 free weeks, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, that's also a subscription. But our biggest business here is managing money for folks and taking that burden off your back and trying to keep you in the right areas, out of the bad areas, and being very vigilant on the markets for you as money managers. Call us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.